The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Paddy. You're our lads.
All right. Hello.
Yes.
You should meet my enthusiasm. When I start off there, it would help, you know, because it seems like you don't want to talk to me, which is quite true, I suppose. I go, welcome to the Weekend Podcast. You're like, yeah, all right, yeah.
Yeah, we're not very good at disguising it, are we? Good point.
Yeah. Now, Steve's not here because Steve's at Bushfest. We can't talk about that because, of course, this is mainly a family show. And the stuff he films there is not for family ears. You know, it's not for family anything, actually. You know, bunch of, you know,
swingers.
Reprobates and, you know, perverts, essentially. I'm only joking. Bushfest is in Bushy. And there's a lot, in fact, did you see that? I just watched that, a cover version of Freddie Mercury's We Will Rock You, done by sort of, looks like a Mexican guy, but I thought he was singing in Spanish or something, or maybe a Thai guy, I don't know what it is, but I thought he was speaking a different language, but he wasn't. He was just making up the words, because when we came to We Will Rock You, it did resemble We Will Rock You. Did you watch that, guys?
I did. Yeah, I think he's a Thai guy, isn't he?
A Thai guy, yeah. And he had massive shoes on, cracker shoes. But anyway, Bushfest is that, basically. You know, Steve often sends us pictures, doesn't he, of his cover artists who do stuff like that. And he has pictures of Steve, like Frankie Mercury and all that stuff, you know? So, that'll be nice to see when, you know, Steve finishes that. Anyway, don't worry about that. Let's talk about the market. That's what we're here about. And maybe we'll talk about politics at the end, because Paddy, that's his passion. My passion is investing. And this is my podcast. We talk about that. Paddy's podcast is... When is that, Pad? When do you release that?
Thursdays,
right. Yeah, it's a good day, Thursday. It's called the Weekend Politics Podcast on a Thursday. And we can talk about that. General election, of course, big news. But bigger news than that for me was this week, the AIM All Share entered a bull market, boys. What do you reckon? What do you think? What's your feelings? What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm not getting carried away.
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you say, Pad?
I believe it when I see it.
What do you mean? Look on Twitter. I've just posted it. So, listen, right? It entered a new bull market. It's still in it. Now, these are the stats. This is the stats, right? 986 days since the high on AIM, and that was in September the 6th, 2021. And 563 days since it entered the bear market on the 22nd of February, 2022. I said on Twitter, it's highly likely, I will call it Twitter, it doesn't work as X, I think everyone should call it Twitter. It's highly likely this is just the start of a bull market which can last 3 to 5 years, pretty much. And not only that, guys, right? If you look at the indices and break them down, which I've done, the microcaps are starting to rally. Here's the numbers. FTSE 100, which is, of course, the biggest companies on the market there, this week, that index closed down, minus 1.2%. The FTSE 250, which is mid-cap domestic-based companies, but still big, you know, billion-pound market caps, only up 0.1%. The FTSE small cap, they were up the week 0.41%. But the AIM All Share up 2.03% for the week. Get in there! Yeah!
That must be high for a while, isn't it?
Yeah, but not only that, it rallied up on Monday, come back down, and went back up. This is a start, guys. Honestly, I know what you're saying, Pad. Your sentiment there, I'll believe it when I see it, is generally reflected and mirrored across most investors, you know, sort of retail investors or passive investors. They are literally ignoring the market for now because they've taken a hammering over the brutal bear market. It's been brutal, absolutely brutal, for over 2 years, even since the bear market, about 563 days since the bear market started, and we've only just come out. So it's been a long, old trudge, and but I think we're there. I think we're there. I've noticed the last few weeks, it's almost like you're attuned. You're attuned to the market changing. You know, it's like what kind of things they have? It's like almost like when Lola, my dog, who will you be looking after this week? I'm away for a week. Yeah. By the way, she came into season last week, so you'll have good yeah. time there. Great. Don't worry, we've got some little big boy pants for her you can put on.
Yeah, brilliant, thanks.
Not you, on her, I mean. Like
oh, okay.
I think they're on two-year-old pants or something, with a hole for the tail.
Mm.
Like, cut yeah. out. Yeah, you couldn't buy those
yeah, my cream, you know. My cream carpets will love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost like when she senses a hedgehog in the garden, and I look out there, I can't see anything, because it's pitch black, and she's scratching at the door, going, it's almost like you there with the market became a bit more, you know, fruity in the last few weeks. But the market, right. Why is that, Pete? Maybe you've got spidey senses.
Maybe I have. I don't know. I think, I'm not sure there was one particular trigger. It was just, I suppose a few things started to happen. The economy, the wider economy, there were some better figures coming out, weren't there? So I don't know. I just sort of...
Well, that's what Rishi's hoping. Rishi's,
yeah, exactly. Rishi,
any bit of news he jumped on, didn't he? Right, let's call it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a bit called, he's called a snap election. I thought, what happens then? Is that different to a normal election? Do him and Starmer just sit down and play snap or what? That'd be an interesting way of doing it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that filmed, televised lives. Whoever wins the snap game wins the election. Snap! No, that was you put your hand down first. No, you can't have that. I'd love that. But I think it's changed. I think, and it's about time. If you look back on previous bear markets, they do last. I mean, this has been a long one. They do last, you know, sort of 12 to 18 months. It's almost been,
yeah.
you know, and this is run about the same. And we are coming out, and you have the tailwind now of obviously interest rates coming down. And hopefully,
I think that'll be a big kick up for the markets. Yeah. When if in June perhaps, interest rates came down a quarter percent or something, and that would just be the start. That would be confirmation of that happening and that trend. And then surely people will then bring money back to the markets, because you know you're not going to be earning the interest you have been earning elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, even today, I did point it out. Even today, XP Factory closed. I mean, let's look at the chart there. Well, I did, flag this at 1-2. I said, if it closes above that 200-day moving average, that's a good sign. Because it hasn't done that since August last year. And it's tried six times. It's gone above it and then been sold into, you know. So it's gone back down and then it's closed below it six times. Now, today, which is a Friday recording this, today it's up 10.34% to 16 pence, and it's above the 200-day moving average, which is at 15.55. Now, on the Microcap League, on my website, that means it'll go up the chart, because what XP Factory has lacked is a bit of health, a little bit of debt. That'll come down, hopefully, or profits will go up, or market cap will go up, so it won't be so bad. And a momentum. Momentum is all about, is the share price, you know, above 50-day moving average, above 200-day, is the 50-day above the 200-day? And you get increasing points for those three metrics. And on the scores there, it's zero on momentum. But now it's above the 50, it's above the 200. So that means it goes up from, I think, position 30, about 134 companies now in the Microcap League, from position 30 up to about position 20. Now, if it gets the Golden Cross, it'll get another 7 points. It'll probably go to the top 10. So it works. This Microcap League works. When you get momentum, it will show it. And you pair that with the growth and value, and you're there. So essentially, if you look at the top 10 companies in the Microcap League, it works. In fact, I want to talk about that. But Paddy, are you all still holding XP Factory?
No.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I've got rid of that.
All right. I'm now just put this on my watch list again, because I think when are the results coming out? Results are out soon, aren't they? Let's have a look. Not for a while, 124 days. But I think they've come up with a trading update, and they show a bit more, clarity, visibility on their profit.
I think it's costs that's the main thing, because their last trading update was very bullish in terms of their revenue, which is brilliant. But the obviously costs, there was no mention of costs and no mention of profit. Yeah. But with the hopefully the energy costs coming down, like I say, interest rates coming down, hopefully, I think sentiment towards leisure stocks should return, hopefully, because hopefully, and coming into a summer, we could do with a good summer, couldn't we? People will
Euros.
Yeah, Euro Championship, all that sort of stuff. That could all help drive revenue to these sort of places. And you kind of think, I hope that the market will kind of buy into that. But who knows? Yeah, hopefully. Let's see a recovery. It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you can get... we're really bullish now. If you can, on Tuesday, because it's bank holiday, if you can open up and close even above this close, 16 pence. That would be quite bullish. And I think sentiment will change. And as you get towards off the back end of the year, that's when all the business is done. And like you say, energy costs are coming down. So that's one cost that'll come down that'll help them a bit. And also, you know, you have had the living wage go up in April, but that'll be baked in and going forward. And but that sort of helps a little bit, doesn't it? Because if all of the costs come down and people's wages have gone up, you know, by inflation, and yet inflation starts to drop, then that helps a lot. So you know, even people going to the thing will feel a bit better off, you know. But yeah, I like that. It's on my watch list now, because I think out of the, you know, leisure stocks, I think if you look at around Nightcap and Revolution Bars, they're all swimming in debt. And I covered it the other day on the webinar of my club, and I do put clips on YouTube so people see them a week or so afterwards. You can see that. And I do cover, and I say it's the best of a good bunch, I think. A best of a leisure bunch, I think, in the microcap space. Yeah. I think it'll rally quite nicely once it starts going. But keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it, because as yet, the uptrend isn't confirmed, but it's a very good start. It's a very good start.
Can you explain, like, what will an uptrend need to look like for you to
Well, really, you look at 50-day cross the 200-day. But that's moving average are lagging factors. But what you need to see is, I'd say, it's not closed above, let's have a look, pretty much 18 pence in the last, you know, since July 2023. So if it does that, it's very good. I mean, that's but even a couple of higher highs now, even, you know, if it closes above 16 and it keeps closing at a higher highs, it may have to come back a little, 1 or 2 days. But as long as you get a series of higher lows, higher highs, that's a good sign, because that means now if there's a seller in there or whatever happens, they've stopped and there's buyers, basically net demand of the stock. You know, there's not enough stock out there. And the demand overcomes the supply. And that's a good sign. That's why momentum is very important, because once it starts, it carries on for a long time. And you can see that as evidenced by the stock going down. You know, it's been going down pretty much, you know, for a couple of years now. So once that stops, the momentum can carry on for a year or two, you know. So so that's why, you know, a lot of people, traditional investors, don't pay attention to momentum. I think, are you kidding? On Microcap League, it's growth and value momentum are the three most important metrics. I mean, a company can have, you know, growth and value, but not momentum. In fact, Ramsden's has got that, and it's a very good stock, very healthy, growing. They did a record, and you think, surely if a company has growth and value and is healthy, it would have momentum. No, Ramsden's did record profit last year, 10.6 million of operating profit. They paid a dividend of 5%, and yet their finals come out, the share price went down. And there's a seller in there. And so, literally, there's no point fighting the seller, because they've got more money than you. They're a fund. You know, they've got millions of quids worth of stock. So you may just wait. Otherwise, you collect a nice dividend, but you don't know how low the share price will go. So just an efficient allocation of capital. If you don't want to sit on a paper loss for ages, just wait for momentum to tick up. And then once it starts, you know, it could be going for years. So, anyway, I want to weekend podcast largely to be excited about the markets, but also to talk about the Shipickers Investment Club, because it is about 7 days left until the £99 offer goes away. Ooh. And so it goes up by 50% then to £149 a year. Yeah, and I think that in itself, I think, is good value for money. It's £1.90 a week, for heaven's sake. And if you go, even my, you know, weekly webinars, you know, worth that, easy. Just check out the member testimonials. But I was thinking beyond, and it's a funny thing, people don't think, like you said, like Pad there, I'll believe when I see it with the market. Many people are like that. And the trouble with retail investors or people who are learning to invest, they literally, I mean, like I said, if you look at there's two very good places or very aggressive places to invest in a bull market, right? One's at the start, one's at the end. And of course, the best place to invest is towards the start, because you've got, you know, a couple of years run there. Now, why people invest at the end is because at the top of the market, everyone believes it's never going down. They never believe the stock market's going to sell off. People, like the last bull market, you get a frothy top where it starts to rally crazily in the last 6 months, because everyone's talking about it. It's on the mainstream media. It's on the news. Stock markets, again, hit an all-time high. You'll get all that. So friends of people, you know, friends tell friends who are doing well. People who invested tell their friends, oh, I'm doing really well in the stock market. Excellent. And everyone starts jumping in. and they tend to jump in towards the top of the market. And that's a really bad time to invest. So this is the best time to start investing over the next 3 to 5 years. And I said to people, why invest, right? And I'm thinking, and if you look at most people, right, the average person, right, earns a wage, pretty much. You know, you take what you're given from your employer, that's it. You basically trade your time for that money. You work for that money, that's it. Now, you're never going to get, and I mentioned this in the book, Pete, you recognize, you're never going to get a boss say, listen, I'm going to give you a 200% pay rise. You're never going to get that. You're never going to get that. If you're lucky, you'll get inflation. Now, if you're happy with that, that's fine. But if you want to turn that money and turbocharge that money, now, of course, we've got a 2-year bear market, so a lot of people say, oh, yeah, it's not that easy. That's not. The bear market is very hard, but a bull market is a lot easier. If you want to turbocharge that money, then you've got to take a bit of risk. And anyone who's done anything in life, you know, all the big businessmen, all any successful entrepreneur takes a bit of risk. But one of the best times to invest is at the start of a bull market. And like I said, you can, if you want to improve your wage, and that's the thing, most people are unemployed. And I keep saying this, there's only two ways to build your own wealth realistically. And that's own a business that's successful or own a share of one. And most people will never own a business that's successful, but you can choose to own a share of one. And so that's the way you get your money working for you. So you work for your money. Now, don't just put it in a bank, because, okay, you get 5% now. That's not going to last forever. Now, if you want to multiply that by many, many, many times, you've got to invest it. You've got to take a bit of risk. And I'm not talking about silly risks, because, I mean, if you look at my, you know, the strategy in the book and stuff, it's very calculated, measured risks. But you've got to do that. And if you want to achieve, you know, a higher standard of living, get your own house, some of that, you've got to invest that money, full stop. And there's no easier way, no more accessible way than doing that, than investing money. And I genuinely believe that, because I've done it. And I know many, many people have done it. But most people who do it start at the top of a bull market when you have 2 years then of a bear market. This right now is the time to start investing. Absolutely right now. And so I know most people, let's say, if you're like a plumber or something, and you've got good money, you earn good money, but there's a limit to what you can earn, you know, unless you start up a plumbing business, you employ lots and lots of people. If you are a one-man band, and you can earn decent money, but you're limited in the amount of work you can do. There's only a certain amount of hours in the day. If that frustrates you, if you want to really turbocharge that, then you've got to start investing a little bit of it. I'm not talking about all of it, of course. I'm talking about money you can afford to lose. And that way you can actually, you know, build a genuine wealth. You can do it. Anyone can do it. I mean, you know, but it's pretty bit of time in. And that's it, isn't it? People jump in the stock market thinking, oh, I'm going to get rich straight away. You've got to put a bit of time and effort into it, because it's not easy making money. It's never going to be. But it's absolutely possible. And I think it's one of the best ways ever to create your own wealth. That's what I think. I rest my case. Mm.
Okay. Yeah, I commend it to the house.
Yeah. What do you say, Pad?
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, and also, do you know what? I go around the world, I look at horrible things in Gaza, right, going on. And you see things around the world, terrible, people in horrible situations, and you think, sometimes you feel guilty about it, that you got such a good life, they haven't, they're living. And I think, well, hang on a sec, if you swap with them, right, what do you think they'd be doing right now? Would they be maximizing their opportunity? And they would, especially coming from that area where they are now. So we are in a very lucky position where we are to have some disposable wealth, maybe, to, you know, not be in a war-torn area. And I'm saying, you have that opportunity in life, do not waste it, because others wouldn't, especially people who are in a less favorable position. You don't choose to be born where you're born. You're just born in the country you are. We're lucky to be born where we are. And regardless of the politics going on and, you know, the gripes we have, they are first world gripes mainly. But I'm saying, take the opportunity, because other people would, especially people who are in less fortunate situations. And sometimes that's what I think. You know, I think, you know, I'm certainly, you know, I'm lucky to be where I am. But, you know, and other people now, if you come from a different country, they are super hungry for success. People are traveling, almost losing their lives to get in this country. Don't you waste your opportunity at being in this country and having the opportunity to create your own wealth, because you can do it with some hard work. And there's no excuses. It can be done. Full stop. So if you want to join the club, it's £99. But it's true, that, isn't it? It's true that. Do you think we were so lucky to be where we are, to be able,
totally.
You know, going on an app, with some, you know, a bit of our money and just invest it. You might, people would give their left arms for that around the world, in different parts of the world. They give, you know, absolutely would. Have something in. And if you want, and I say, if you want to learn to do it, because like I said, this is not a boast. I've done well in the stock market. I've only lost money in 1 year since 2009, and I'm no genius. I'm crap at maths. I literally, you know, I've not accountancy degrees. I'm not trained in the market. I used to work in radio. That proves anyone can do it. Anyone can make some money in the stock market. But I mean, it helps that I have a passion for it. Yes. But, you know, if you sort of enjoy this kind of stuff, you can do it. And right now it's been hard for the last 2 years. It's about to get easier. So so we are. But are you not excited about the markets, Pad?
Yeah, I'm effervescent.
Buzzing, can't you tell?
Yeah. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I feel
a little bit lost by it all, though. I feel a little bit disconnected from it, that's what I'd say at the moment.
Why is that?
Get my feet back under it. Because there's no information about what's good and bad.
What are you talking about?
You've
got free membership to my site. You need to start, right? It's an hour a week, right? In fact, you are going to get busy soon. It's a pad. An hour a week. Join the webinar for 1 week or something, right? Or just look at read my blogs, go on the thing. I literally give you everything. So I'm going to go on. If you go on my page here, right? If you want to learn more, if you're listening right now, like Paddy is, just go to sharepickers.com/subscribe. That doesn't mean you subscribed. It just means the page there of information about what the Sharepickers Investment Club offers. First of all, the book, which Peter's read, and he's helped me with the spelling and grammar and all that stuff. It's now going to be, you know, published by Harriman House in November-ish. So I can't sell it publicly, but it's still there for members, freedom members. And I go through that in about 167 pages. You know, the strategy, and it's basically based on what, when, how. It's a three-pronged strategy, right? And I came about this strategy because I did very well in the bull market. Turns out I had a very good attack strategy. My defense strategy was dreadful. So I liken it, Pat, in the book, actually, to Spurs. When they started off the season, everyone was very bullish about Spurs. My son's a Spurs fan. He goes there. And I remember coming out of the stadium. I think it was like match. I think it was Liverpool. That's right. I watched that live. And this guy walked past me, London, this 8-year-old son, right? He said, "Son, we're going to win the FA League," you know. And someone, looked at his dad proudly, his son. And I think he won about 7 games out of 8 in the first 8 games, okay? And it turns out you're quite a good attacking side. And then I didn't know much about it, but my father-in-law said, "Yeah, trouble is," and they started losing then. So trouble is, they've got no defence. And you realise you can be as good at attacking as you want to. And I also put, in fact, Pete, I need to read this anecdote. I also put the anecdote in there about Francis Ngannou, an amazing character who travelled across the world to get in MMA and fight Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. He has the most powerful punch in the world. In fact, it's just been surpassed. But since 2017, he recorded as having the most powerful punch in the world, described as being hit by a Ford Escort or being hit in the head with a 12-pound lump hammer. Right? And everyone says, "Oh, if he catches AJ, you're down. AJ knocked him down the first round, knocked him down the second round, didn't get back up. So it's okay having a good attack, you've got to have a defense. You know, absolutely. Otherwise, the biggest punch in the world is worth nothing. And that was what my strategy was in the bull market. And why? Because interest rates were low, money was free. We're never going to have that again. That was the longest period of very low interest rates ever. Never can happen again. So you got stupid stocks rallying that have no real value, but they're all about story in the future. You get people buying NFTs worth £1 million because it was like the market was never going lower. And then all of a sudden inflation kicked in and they started worrying. Several banks hiked up interest rates and they put the brakes on that story. So what you need to do now is invest in decent companies. But I didn't have any defense at all, and all attack. That's what I did very well. But now I've changed it. So I look at now exactly what companies to invest in doing. These are proper, you know, these are areas of the market that most likely produce the best results. And they are proper businesses generating revenue or very close to that. They're growing, they've got value. I look at when to invest in them, and that's looking at momentum and charts and how. And that's about managing your portfolio. And I said this is the most important part, and this is what I've learned in the last 2 years, because I gave back 45% of what I made in the bull market 10 years, which is gutting. Imagine losing 45% of your portfolio in 2 years, which you'd built up over the last 11 years or 12 years. And so now I come to the how, portfolio management, most essential tool ever. And even if the left field happens, you know, the worst case scenario, because it can happen now and again, if the worst case scenario happens, you're protected. And I often say investors get it wrong because they focus on the reward. And because they do that, they literally, they emotionally invest and they put too much in, they hold on, they lose us too long and all that. So you should always focus on the risk because it's about risk management. That's all it's about. And we tend to forget that in the bull market, especially the last one, because it's crazy. But it's all about risk management. When you put your money in, you're risking capital. But people don't think that. They just think, how much am I going to make? Now, if you flip that round, because we're hardwired to think how much I'm going to make, because that's why you invest. But if you flip it around and think, how much am I going to lose, or how much could I lose, and you start off from a better foundation, basically. So, Paddy, you've got the free book there. You've got the club there. You can do anything. Don't make excuses. You can, if you want to, make money. That's an extra strategy.
I'm up for it. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yes. Yes, and it's about literally, you know, leveraging winners, deleveraging losers,
yeah.
And it works very well. If you just, all you need is a bit of work, a bit of discipline. I do mention this in the book, a bit of work, a bit of discipline, and it can work for you. Absolutely work for you. Because it's based on maths. There's no way it can't work. You know, unless you're the most unlucky guy in the world, every stock you pick is a loser. Now, in a bull market, that's very hard. In a bear market, that's quite easy. But in a bull market, that's quite hard. But it's about that. You can do it, Pad. You can do it. You can do it, Pad.
For believing in me, Justin.
What is that?
Yeah.
Because you need to start, you know, making plans for the future, Pad. Now you're starting to build some wealth in a sensible way. And I'm not talking about getting fast quickly. You may have one or two that'll do, you know, shoot up, but you're
getting
making
rich
sure you
quickly.
Lock it. Yeah, you're making sure you lock in those profits and thing. But if you just stick to it, there are rules. There are rules. And the hardest thing about those is sticking to the rules. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Sounds good.
And if you want to read some member testimonials, you can go there to sharepickers.com/subscribe. Anyway, Pat, let's get into an area of your obsession, of your passion. Now, you must be very excited. Well, you'll be getting to vote, getting to vote for the Tories again on the 4th of July.
Yeah, we've got to stick to the plan, guys. They're the only party with a plan.
Oh, look at that. Breaking news. Michael Gove will not stand at the general election.
Yeah, he knew he was out.
They are, aren't they? Well, in a month's time,
oh, really?
There's so many Tories going to lose their job, isn't there? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Paddy.
Yeah.
Is it a case of you do hate the Tories, or do you like Labour?
I'm a Labour member, so I like Labour. I wouldn't say I like this iteration of Labour as much as previous versions, but they're a lot better than the arseholes we've got in power at the moment.
Mm. What iteration of Labour did you like?
The much earlier ones who were far more socialist and actually got things done. But it's so hard at the moment to appeal to... This country's got far more right wing, isn't it? So you do have to, sadly have to switch a little bit over to that side of things to get elected. Otherwise, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah. No, you have to. I mean, Tony Blair had the model, didn't he? He went to the middle, and the Tories had to go to the right. And then you realise having the middle ground, you appeal to more people, middle to left, maybe a little bit of left, nodding to the left, but mainly middle.
Yeah.
But what do you know? I like it to pick your stocks. I mean, I always talk about people fall in love with the story. And I think I never fall in love with the party at all. And I did say on Twitter recently, you have to understand the basis for improvement generally is a strong economy. And that's, and anyone who sort of argues that, raise taxes, improve communities and infrastructure, yes, we can all do that. But, you know, unless the government have the money, they're going to bankrupt themselves. And it doesn't help by having... So the way to do that is facilitate, help small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the big companies, because they can look at... They're big enough anyway. They could trade around the world. But there are 17 million people employed through small and medium-sized enterprises. That's half the workforce of this country, you know? And so if you help those literally thrive, they will employ more people. You know, you take more tax... You'll be able to really, you know, look after the NHS and the schools and, you know, infrastructure and local communities, and you can reinvest back in the economy. I just hope whoever gets in, and Starmer's making the right sounds, but whoever gets in, don't penalise businesses. The small and medium-sized businesses, we need them. They're the backbone of the UK. Help them thrive. And you'll find, you know, if you manage that money correctly, the tax take, you can help, you know, you can reinvest it back into the people and do what you want with it. But help businesses. That's what you need to start doing. You know, make our economy almost the envy of the world, and then it will fill it down. I'm not talking about, you know, it just makes sense. I could tax taxes. It's big, businesses struggle. They won't take on people. You won't get more tax. You get less. And I just hope that's what he's doing. They are sort of making it sound where he is. But I worry about some of the lefties in that party who literally think everyone who's got a business or trying to make money is evil in some way. Clamp down on them. No. No, don't do that.
Yeah, but the opposite is also true, isn't it? Like the idea that every billionaire is just some guy who's just going to like give all his money to, like, that's just not true. Like there are lots of very wealthy people in this country who could absolutely pay more tax, and that's not,
yeah, but good billionaire. Listen now, we can't generalize because there are very few billionaires anyway in this country, right? There's very few of those. People focus on that. Most people in this country are not billionaires. Most people who have businesses are not billionaires. They're just, you know, doing okay. You got many people owning fish and chip shops, or hairdressers, and all this stuff. They're not millionaires or billionaires. Right, and talk to those people and see how they're struggling. See how you can help them, because you help them, and it'll help the communities. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about billionaires or, you know, companies with like 3,000, 10,000 employees. I'm talking about small and medium-sized businesses. You know, less than 250 or less than 500 people employed. Those kind of people, help those. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Help them run their business. But if you're earning a certain wage, you should get taxed on that wage. There's no way around that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But don't raise that. I mean, but because understand, if there's more money in people's pockets to spend, they'll spend it. That'll help the economy. And then you take more tax. It's simple as that. Everyone, it goes everywhere.
The highest they've ever been. Like, we can't be talking about Labour raising taxes. Well, that's unlikely.
I don't care who it is.
How the taxes get paid, that's one thing. But, like, taxes have never been higher.
Yeah, but like,
you can't go into this election moaning at Labour for raising taxes because they're already mentally high.
Yeah, no, I know that. So that's what I'm saying. So, you know, I would literally vote for anyone who understands a thriving small and medium-sized business economy is the best. That's where you start. That's exactly where you start. Then you start getting the money in. Then you can start repairing everything you want to repair. But you choke off that supply. That's it. Nothing is going to get any better. And like I said now, you know, Starmer, to be fair, is saying, we haven't got the money to do what we want to do. And I quite like that attitude, because he's right. Yeah. And so he sort of realises you have to earn the money to do, you know, good things.
Yeah.
To earn the money, you have to help business, you know, full stop.
There's loads they can do as well, though, isn't there? Like, there's just not enough trained people in this country. They need to really work on education, apprenticeships. All this Brexit rubbish has just completely derailed the bandwidth of the government. They've not had any time to think about anything else. So now that a new lot come in, they could just forget about all that rubbish, but hopefully clear away some of this endless paperwork that Brexit has created by doing some sort of having a bit more of a conversation with the Europeans.
I think they have to understand, they have to be a bit clever with how they stimulate business. They can't as yet invest real money. They always do it. They've got any supply of money, really, but it's just not good for, you know, our bonds, and so it'll cost the government more. So you don't want to be tied down with, you know, high yielding bonds, because it just cut their debt. You know, they'd have to service that debt. So, but I mean, yeah, they have to understand that, you know, they do it in a clever way, somehow stimulate business, get more people employed, and then you can reinvest that in any way you want, like I said, and really put, but what I want to focus on is, like, it all stems from the economy, you know? So don't throttle that, and don't try and see it as a piggy bank, because you want to make it flourish. Like, you know, a dying apple tree will not give you more apples next year. You can look after it. You can help it grow, you know? You need more apples, not less apples. You can't just keep taking more apples off the tree and not water it. You know what I'm saying? If you like apples, you like apple trees.
Yep.
Sorry, boys. Do you want to say anything? I'm ranting. I'm very excited about this week. It's been, you know, I've had a couple of good runs and quite a few stocks over the last few months anyway. But I'm starting to see now, generally, the market is turning up. And that's why yes!
I'm quietly excited, but I'm not getting carried away at this point. But it's good. It's nice to see it. And I think the general election and all of that stuff, I don't know, creates a sort of time of change, doesn't it? So it creates a bit of perhaps impetus that we need. So it's good.
I tell you, Rishi's getting some flack on social media, isn't he? Because everyone's just taking the mick out of him, isn't they?
I know.
It's everywhere.
Such a wet fish, though, isn't he? Jesus.
Well, yeah. Bless him, he's just not a good leader.
He gave in Downing Street. Like, I was watching it, and it wasn't. I was trying to pay attention, but the words he says just somehow don't ever enter my head. It's just this monotone gibberish, just repeating the same old garbage over and over again. It's just not. I don't know whether it's just me, but I'm just
no. He's not charismatic in any ways. Neither is Starmer. But I think because you know Rishi has a background, it's quite sad that he may want to do good for. I don't know if he does or not. He may want to help the common person, but the fact that he's a billionaire, he comes from that background. Yeah. Then you can't really, you know, he's not a genuine. I know Starmer went to private school. Pretty much, it was a private school. But he's a bit more in touch, and he's worked in proper jobs and stuff. And the fact that he's not as charismatic as as Tony Blair is, and all that stuff. But you do believe in him a bit more, even though he's so nasally boring. That's unbelievable. It's like it's a bit sad. But even that though, he wanted to stand outside Downing Street because that's tradition. In that weather, I say sod tradition. I'm going to do it in the office, and that way I'd have been dry, and you wouldn't have got that speaker outblasting me, saying things will only get better. And you just thought that's the synopsis of your time in office, Rishi. Everything you do turns to crap. You know, everything you've done just flies back in your face. I mean, it was like an omen, wasn't it? It's like, mate, you're getting poured on and you can't be heard.
It was like an episode of the Thick of It, wasn't it, really?
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's a microcosm of what he's done. It's like summing up exactly what's happened to him in time. You know, so yeah, and it's hard to be genuine. But I just do hope whoever gets in, you know, understands it's the small businesses that count. Help those, you know, and of course, then you can improve the economy. But don't.
Do you mean the microcap, basically?
That's it, the microcap league, and
help the microcap league.
Yeah. No, but you know what I'm saying? You know, business people, there's lots of hardworking people in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally, they've been treading water for literally 2 years, 3 years. And so hopefully, you can help those. And, you know, and if they do well, those businesses will take on people. The more people they take on, the more people spend money, the more tax you take, and the more you produce in the country, the more, you know, everything. It just thrives, you know. And it will help if interest rates come down. I think Starmer, by accident, really, he's going to come into office and the economy is going to get better because interest rates will go down anyway. And they'll claim within the first 2 years, look at this, the economy's booming. Yeah, part of that is interest rates, mate. You know, it's like that's going to help a lot, isn't it? You know,
well, one of the country's greatest investors, Steve, he's recently got back into the markets a bit, hasn't he, as well? And I'd be quite interested. Pity he couldn't come on today because we've got to get him on next week or soon because I'd like to know how he's going because he's invested in quite a few new stocks. Yeah. I want to see how he's finding this new market. Yeah. Well,
he's invested in five companies. I mean, like I say, he has got the majority of his money. And I just said in the book that any private investor should have the majority of their money in a fund. And then that'll earn you 8-10% a year. If you want to beat that, you've got to take on a bit more risk. But you've also got to do a bit of research. So Steve is just doing a bit blind. So, yeah, what should I do? Pick that, yeah. But hopefully, he's picked some decent companies because they are at the top of the microcap league. So they possess. I mean, some of them have rallied a bit. They made it consolidate. But hopefully they'll do well. But
Steve, what's the ticker? Martin is back in the market.
Yeah, that's it. Right, Pat, listen now, Pat, invest in yourself, okay? Start learning about investing because is there any, think, Pat, in a realistic way now, is there any other way you are, maybe there is, maybe you get a hit film or whatever you do, I don't know, but is there any other realistic way where you can multiply the money you have over long term?
Drug dealing.
Yeah, gambling.
Oh, that's fine for nothing. Yeah, you invest in that, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. To most people, it's genuinely one of the only ways you can build your own wealth. And so, I think it's worth taking time to learn about it if you don't hate it. I mean, you don't have to have a massive passion for it, but as long as you quite enjoy it or quite like it or you get into looking at businesses and don't mind it, then I think, you know, it's worth spending a bit of time doing because even an hour a week joining my webinar can help you. Honestly,
if
it can't.
There was like a website that listed all the stocks and shares and put them in order and said which was good and bad.
Yes, 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 it is bad. Yes.
That's what I need. If there was I'd be involved.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I know of a website, Pat. Not only that, it ranks companies most likely to return you the best returns ever.
Exactly. Something like that. That would be great.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Color-coded to show, you know, metrics. Every company's analysed on 20 metrics. And ranked accordingly.
Pat, drop me a line. Me and you can sort that out. I reckon we could build something
like that. And also maybe even a guide on there, free sort of guide, like a book or something, that would take you through a system of strategy that puts it all together for you as well. That kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
I'm not interested in that.
Okay. Well, if you are, sharepickers.com, Pete, by the way, when you look after Lola, just a couple of things. When you come upstairs in the morning, you have to sing a song, yeah? Sing a song to her. She loves that. My pretty girl. Ooh, my pretty girl. Yeah, my pretty girl. Yeah, my pretty... You got to sing that in the morning, right?
Are we still recording the podcast?
Yeah, because never away from us. We work from home.
Right.
But do all that, and she, you know, you got really give her a treat in the morning, fresh water in the garden, you know, you sing that song and all that stuff. Okay, you just generally talk to her all the time. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, I talk to dogs most of the days.
Can you just practice that song then? Just let me know it's in the same tone.
What, now on the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not happening.
Okay. Well, when we're in Tenerife, okay, I want you, FaceTime you or something. I want you. Prove it to me to that, because she enjoys that kind of stuff, you know, because she's a pretty girl.
Yeah, she'll probably enjoy mine more than yours. But
dogs are great, aren't they? I love them. I mean, okay, honestly,
I think we're going slightly off.
Okay, off topic. Yeah, going to, from stocks to politics to dogs.
You need a producer.
Okay. All right. Thanks for joining, Pad and Pete. It's very nice to chat to you. Hopefully we'll speak in a couple of weeks' time when there'll still be a bull market. 7 days left, everyone. Sharepickers.com.
Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
The Sharepickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.